Well, we talk about Christmas, we talk about why He came, and as we're finishing up this series on because He came, we talk about how because He came that He can understand us. Jesus knows what it's like to be human because He came here. He knows the pain, the struggles that we go through as humans because He went through all those things as well. And so because of that, we can come to Him. The Bible says, come boldly before His throne of grace because He knows. We talk about how because He came, we have an example of what it's like to live. We can look at Him and, you know, the disciples asked Jesus at one point, hey, show us the Father. What does God really look like? And He says, hey, look at me. You've seen me, you've seen the Father. And so we look at Him and He reveals Himself to us. But with Christmas just away, I want to wrap up this series that because He came, we have a gift. We have a gift. You know, ask the kids, what do you like about Christmas? And you'll never guess what the number one answer from the kids are. Anyone want to guess what do kids like about Christmas? The presents. They love the gifts. Our daughter is all excited about the gifts. You know, I always tell it's interesting. I turn around and you see these TV commercials and you know, they're giving away everything. And all of them are so excited. The ones I always like were the car commercials. You know, everyone in the family gets a new car. Like, I want to be that family. Ever been, right? Wow, yeah. Then you pay for it for the next 10 years. But wow, it would be great to, you know, go outside and discover, you know, a brand new car. Honey, is that going to happen? No, okay. Yeah, I've been trying to get out of my daughter because she's 10. Well, she's going to be 10 in April. She's 9 now. And so she's got very loose lips. And so she's like, Dad, she goes, I know what every single one of your gifts are. So I've been doing a lot of quality time with my daughter lately. You know, let's go for a ride. Get in the car. And she hasn't leaked at all yet, which is rare for her. But we're driving down the road and we're talking about gifts and she's been dropping hints. You know how kids drop hints of what they want? Very subtle hints of what they want for Christmas. You know, you did the same thing, didn't you? How do you guys remember the Sears catalog? You know, that would come to the house. Zach's like, no, I don't know what you're talking about. And so we'd go through the Sears catalog and circle, subtly circle things and lay it left out open on the table so Mom would go by and see it and subtly would pick up on what we wanted. My daughter turned around this year and we're traveling down the road and I was trying to get out of her what I got for Christmas and she paused and she looked at me and she goes, Dad, there are some things you should not get for Christmas. I was like, okay, where's this going? She goes, Dad, I've decided people should not get underwear for Christmas. I'm like, where does this come from? Are you concerned that this is what you're going to get? I don't, you know. Is this something I got? I don't know. But you always have the traditional bad gift. You know, the aunt who makes the bunny suit for the, I don't know if you guys have ever seen the movie. We get so caught up and so commercialized and so stressed about getting the perfect gift and how much are we going to spend. Actually, this morning on the news, they were doing a survey and they were asking people, do you save within a budget or do you overspend? And it was, when I left the house, it was pretty evenly split of people who go into debt this time of year to make sure they get all the perfect gifts. The Bible talks about the real Christmas, that first Christmas, that we have a most wonderful gift of all. And it's not wrapped in a bow. It's not something you can shake. But Christ Himself is that perfect gift for us. And there's three aspects of this gift that I want to talk about that make it a perfect gift. The first one is it is free. The gift of God is free. If you had to pay for it, guess what? It is not a gift. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 says, "For the grace of God you've been saved through faith. That is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." I like free. Does anyone else like free? It's amazing. You know, you put something for free and people will take anything. It will. I'm amazed. I remember when we first moved in, we replaced some carpeting upstairs in the parsonage. We rolled up the carpet, and it was pretty stained, and it was pretty worn. And so I was like, you know, whatever, we should hold it off. And I think it was Chris who mentioned, just put it out. And he made a little sign that said, free. We pulled out the carpet, we laid it down by the curb, we put the sign there, and I think we just went up the road to get something. We came back, within 5 minutes, it was gone. Because it was free. It was free. I talked to a lady who went through drive-thru, and this is funny. She was going through drive-thru at McDonald's. And she came up through, and she ordered whatever she wanted, and she looked on there, and she goes, "Can I have that Wi-Fi, please?" I said, "What do you mean? What? I want the Wi-Fi." "What? It says free Wi-Fi. I want it. I don't know what it is, but it's free. I want it." It's Wi-Fi. It's the internet. But it's funny, that reaction, right? I want it because it's free. But the minute you have to pay something for it, it is no longer free. If you have to jump through a hoop, if you have to fork over some money, if there's some obligation to it, it is no longer free. The Bible is clear that our salvation, that Christ came into this world and died for us to take our punishment for our sins. He took it upon himself and he offers to us that forgiveness. And it's not based on what you've done. You know, God is not like Santa Claus. Santa Claus, we go down through, "Look, I've been a good boy all year." Right? "I've been good, so give me what I deserve." God doesn't work that way. The term grace means that God does not give us what we deserve. Because you know what? I deserve death. Separation from God for all eternity. That's what I deserve. But he offers freely to me and to you his salvation, his love, his grace. He pours out, not of works. See, if I turn around and say, "Look, God, I should go into heaven because I'm such a good boy," then that would talk about how great I was. Right? I mean, I deserve it. See, a lot of people get confused because they think, you know, being a Christian and going to church is all about doing the right thing. That's not it. It's not about trying to be perfect. Because I'm not. But it's based on what he has freely done for us. And because of that, it has an impact. It truly has an impact on us. And so because of that, I love him, because I serve him, and it reflects in what I do. But God doesn't love me more if I'm a good boy. His love doesn't falter. It's free. Romans tells us, "But God demonstrated his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." While I was a sinner, here's the amazing thing. Because I can probably fool some of you some of the time. Some of you might think I'm a great guy now. You can talk to my wife, she can fill you in, right? Yeah, she's known me for over 30 years. You know, I can put on the face, I can put on the smile, I can act a certain way, I can fool you all into thinking, hey, he's a great, wonderful guy. We turn around, we have politicians, we have actors, we have people in the public square who actually hire people to tell them how to act, that people will like them more. Because sometimes we're afraid that people really knew what we were like. Right? If you knew the real John, you'd say, what an idiot that guy is. You know, if you could read my thoughts, say, man, what a jerk. But we hide it, right? We were able to put on all the facades. Think about this. That God demonstrated His love towards us while we were still sinners. That God looks down and He knows everything about you. Everything. You know, He knows what you do when no one's around. He knows what you watch and what you listen to. He knows what goes through your mind when someone cuts you off in traffic. Right? He knows all of that. Every nitty gritty, and yet He still loves you. Isn't that cool? You know, because if you knew everything about me, you probably wouldn't like me very much. And maybe there's something in my past. Maybe there's something I've done. Maybe there's... Right? You say, man, if you really knew some of the things, that may change your opinion about me. Because we're very conditional. Right? If you do this, then I'll respond in a certain way. But God offers His salvation to us freely when He knows us at our worst. He loves us. And yet He still came. And He died for you and for me. That is awesome. It really kind of blows my mind when you think about it. Titus puts it this way, not of works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Right? It's not based on how good you are. It's based on how good He is. Right? Have you ever had someone give you a gift? You know, this time of year you kind of panic because maybe you got a card or a gift. Right? We just did this the other day. We got a card from someone. And we're like, oh, we didn't send them one. And it's too late now, right? You're kind of scrambling and like, oh no! Because you feel that, right? You feel that, well, you did because... Not by works of righteousness which we have done. There is nothing that you and I can do to earn what God has given us. But He gives us that mercy and He gives us His grace freely. You know, a couple years ago I was at someone's deathbed. They've been struggling with cancer for a while and had an opportunity to sit down at their bedside. We started talking and the family kind of drifted off and it ended up being just me and him. And we were talking. And I asked him, I said, are you ready to go face your Maker? And he goes, I'm not. I said, would you like to know? He goes, I don't know. I said, well, do you mind if I share? And he goes, no, go ahead. So I proceed to explain to him look, that we are sinners. We have sin in our lives. And because of that sin, the penalty from that is separation from God. That when we die, we are separated from Him because of the penalty of the sin that we've done. I said, but Christ came, born on that Christmas morn. Didn't stay a babe, but grew. Lived a perfect, sinless life. And at the age of 33, He died upon a cross for you. To take the penalty for your sin. And He offers it to you for free. If you will accept Him as your Lord and Savior, accept that free gift. The Bible says that He will take your sins and cast them as far as the east is from the west. That when you come before Him, He'll say, "Welcome home." And I asked Him, I said, "Do you want this?" He goes, "What's it cost?" It doesn't cost anything. You just have to accept it. And there's a pause. So I asked him again, I said, "Do you want to accept this free gift?" And he goes, "I can't believe that God would accept me." So we walked up through it again, and in the inside, I'm like, "What do you have to lose?" He goes, "Well, let me think about it." And it's a personal decision. It's something everyone has to make for themselves. It's not something to twist or guilt someone into. And so I left. He died several days later, and I don't know where he was with the Lord. But I walked out thinking it was free. Why? Why not accept? It's free, freely offered to everyone in this room if we will accept that gift. Second thing about the gift. Because sometimes we think, well, it's free, it's worthless. Right? Have you ever heard the old saying, "You get what you pay for," right? You ever gotten that? Have you ever received something? You know, maybe someone had something, used it. Is that how I'll give it to you, and you get it, and it's really just a piece of junk? The reason why they want to get rid of it is because they don't want it anymore, right? You ever had that? Yeah. And so sometimes when we talk about God's gift being free to us, we forget one important thing. There was a cost. There was a cost. Hebrews tells us in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, it says, "Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin." The Bible says the wages of sin is what? Is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. See, the gift of salvation costs Jesus everything. On that Christmas morning, we celebrate about Christ coming here to earth. That here He came. He left glory. I scratch my head because He left the place I look forward to going to. I look forward to the day of walking on the streets of gold. I look forward to the day of no more pain and no more sorrow. I look forward to a day with no black flies. And I'm hoping there's no snow in heaven. That's just me. Some of you that like snow, there'll be the snow part. You guys can go up in the mountain. I don't know what. But he left that place to come here. How about slumming it? Not only did he come, you know, he could have picked a rich family and lived in a palace and had it all, but he didn't. He chose a poor couple who had no place to go. He could have chosen a life of luxury. Instead, he chose a carpenter. But not only that, but he grew up. And one day they took him. And they nailed him to a tree. For us, he shed his blood. I deserved that penalty. You deserved that penalty, but he did it for you. Imagine walking into the jail and finding the worst, rottenest criminal that's in there and telling them, you know what? I'll take your place. You go home, I'll take your cell. I'm sure they would say, hey, that's a great deal. I'll take it. I'll take the punishment. That's what Christ did for us. Took our place. Paul puts it this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That Jesus Christ, God in flesh, who had no sin, took all of my sin, all of my shame, took all of that upon himself. Wow. Think of all the things you've done. And not just the things that everyone knows about, but think of all the little private things. The Bible says that Jesus, who is pure and innocent, took all of that unto himself. That he became my sin. And in here, this great exchange took place, that he was condemned and I'm set free. What? The cost. That he took upon himself. You know, salvation is free, but wasn't cheap. The Apostle Peter says this in 1 Peter chapter 2, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live righteous, by whose stripes you are healed. That Jesus took my punishment. I deserved to die. That penalty was mine. It was yours. And he hung there. And took it all. What a price it was. The most valuable gift that was ever given was given on Calvary. Best thing is this gift is offered. And it's offered to everyone. It's growing up, it's funny, because my parents were divorced and my mom got remarried and I had a stepbrother. And so, growing up, we'd get some gifts from my dad. And so underneath the tree, we had, you know, gifts from the family and we had gifts from my dad. And in there, as kids, we were kind of mean and cruel because we kind of picked on my stepbrother because we got more gifts than he did. Right? Because we got not only the family gifts, we also got gifts from our father as well. And so we kind of razzed them and said, well, you don't, you know. Well, that didn't go over well with And so my parents bought him extra to make up for that. You know, but we were just mean and cruel. Like, we got something you don't have, right? Because, you know, our dad didn't live with us. And because he didn't belong, he didn't get a gift. It wasn't offered to him. Right? Have you ever been excluded? You know, you go somewhere and someone else gets something and you don't. And for various reasons, you know. Maybe you show up and it was a party or something for someone else and, you know, you walk out empty-handed. You know, that kind of feeling. And some people feel like God's gift, His salvation, is only for a select few. You know, I've talked to people and said, well, you know, you're a churchgoer, so, you know, of course God loves you more. It doesn't work that way. You know, because I'm a pastor, am I closer and God loves you more than you love someone else? Not at all. I share the gospel with someone, the good news that Jesus Christ died for their sins. And if He will accept their forgiveness, that He will take away their sins. He goes, you don't know what I've done. I said, no, I don't. But God does, and He loves you anyways. Here's a verse probably all of you know. For God so loved the world. You know who the world is? It's you. The most pious saint, the most wretched sinner. God loves you. No matter what you've done, no matter who you are, He loves you. And He loves you so much, for God so loved the world that He gave, that free gift, gave His only begotten Son. That's Jesus Christ. You know, as I shared this morning, you know, we've been around here. Well, I started preaching, I think it was in end of January that I started doing some pulpit supply. So you guys, some of you have known me for almost a year now. And I love you guys. And we feel love from you guys. But you know, if it came down to me picking my daughter and picking you, I'll pray for you. Because I love my daughter. Right? I remember explaining to someone, and he was just like, you don't understand what I've done. I said, I don't, but God does, and He loves you anyways. I said, He loves you so much that He gave up His Son for you. And he goes, no one could love me that much. I said, God does. He loves you so much that He traded His Son's life for yours. And this was a big, burly guy, and he got tears in his eyes. He goes, does He really love me that much? Yeah. That whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you accept that free gift, He will come into your life, and He will forgive you of anything and everything. You will become His child. The Bible says, for whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Anyone who cries out to Him, Lord, save me, He will. But you have to accept that gift. It's free, but it's valuable. But it does nothing. It just sits there. You know, the tree at our house, gifts are slowly starting to accumulate. And already my daughter's looking and waiting and And of course, it's only her. Because I wouldn't poke and do and shake. I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't, honey, I promise. I do not know about the gifts in the closet. I do not know about them. I think she bought it. I don't think so. All right. But imagine come Christmas morning, the gifts are all under the tree. We just left them there. And the day goes by and every gift stays unwrapped, unreceived. What good is it? God's gift of salvation is offered to you, but you need to receive that gift. Romans 10, 9 and 10. It says, if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be what? Saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. There's no magic formula. But the Bible is clear that you need to believe that Jesus is who He says He is, that He is the Son of God who came to this world, who came sinless, and He was died upon the cross for you and for me, that He took our sins upon the cross. That He took the penalty for you. That He died and was buried and rose again. That He is the Lord and He is just Savior. The Bible says with the mouth confession is made. To declare unto Him that, Lord, I accept You. I accept Your salvation. And Lord, help me to live for You. So what else are you going to do? And if this morning you will accept that free gift, maybe some of you already have, and this is a wonderful, wonderful account to go through. That folks, you have the true meaning of Christmas, that Christ came for you. He died for you. That when I die, I know where I'm going. That I can stand before the pearly gates in heaven. He says, why should I let you in? It's because Jesus paid it all. If you were to die, and you stood before the pearly gates, He says, why should I let you in? What would your answer be? Well, I was a good person. The Bible says there's no righteous, no, not one. The Bible says the wages of our sin is death. Well, but as I went to church, that doesn't get you there either. Do you have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that He did what He did for you on the cross? That He took the penalty for your sins? Do you believe that? So it can be a simple prayer of, Lord, forgive me, a sinner. I believe You died on the cross for my sins. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Lord, help me to live for You. The Bible says that one guy couldn't even get those words out. He said, beat his chest and said, forgive me, a sinner. If you're here this morning and you do not know, please, pick up the gift. Accept Christ. Accept His forgiveness. And give your life to Him. Isaiah says it this way at the end of it all. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Christmas is right around the corner. We got a few more gifts to package up and wrap up this afternoon, and then we'll be done. I want to encourage you, don't leave that gift of salvation that He offers you freely. Don't just leave it there. Right where you're at, you can accept Him. Jesus, I believe that You died on the cross for my sins. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Forgive me and help me live for You. To seek Him, to be a disciple of the Lord, of giving our lives to Him, is the greatest gift that you can receive this Christmas. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for the gospel message. It is so clear. It is so simple. Lord, it is a free gift offered to everyone in this room. Lord, it is not a cheap gift. Lord, it costs You everything. But Lord, You offer it to each one here. Lord, the offer is clear. For those who have accepted that gift, Lord, the Bible says they have the right to be called the sons of God. Lord, they are saved for eternity. Glory, hallelujah. Lord, if there's someone here who is a stranger to Your grace, Lord, help them to take it, accept it. Lord, we ask this in Your name. Amen.